Jeff Show. I'm Landon, and this is a new podcast on DolphinsTalk.com.
And I'm Jeff, and we are excited to be with you. Landon is my 12-year-old son and one of the biggest Dolphins fans that I know, and we're going to be with you guys once a week here on DolphinsTalk.com, which is the most listened-to daily Dolphins podcast on the internet, and we're going to be bringing you our thoughts, right, Landon?
Yep.
And this is episode one, the first one. You excited?
Yes, I'm very excited.
All right. Well, let's give people a little bit of background. Why don't you tell everyone why you are such a big Dolphins fan and the things you enjoy about being a Miami Dolphins fan?
Well, I'm such a big Dolphins fan. Majority of the reason is because of you. And since you were raised and grew up in Miami, and I love watching the Miami Dolphins because it's interesting seeing them because they're not going to consistently be the best team. So there's actually a little bit of surprise on what's going to happen in the season. And it's fun to see what actually happens during the season.
That's true. I moved to Miami in 1983, which was a great year for the Dolphins because we drafted a rookie quarterback out of Pittsburgh a little bit later in the first round than many had thought he would go, Dan Marino. So I was lucky enough to attend games in the Orange Bowl. My next door neighbors growing up had season tickets, and their children had moved out of the house, so they took me to a lot of games. So I got to see Marino, I got to see Clayton, I got to see Duper, I got to see the Killer Bees defense, and it made me love that team. And it's ironic that I was born just a couple years after they won their last Super Bowl, and I'm hoping one of the days they'll finally get there again, because I remember it, I was just a little bit younger than you are right now in 1984 when they made the Super Bowl for the last time against the 49ers, and that didn't work out so well.
Nope.
Well, hopefully this year's team can start the road to recovery, because last year was a rough season. Now, the one thing I do need to say, and we said this on the preview pod we did with Mike a couple weeks ago, is Landon has been to three Dolphins games. So the first game you went to was a game against the Minnesota Vikings three seasons ago. And what happened in that game?
On the very last play, or last few plays, the Minnesota Vikings went to punt the ball from the back of their end zone, and we blocked the punt, and it was a safety, and we ended up winning the game because we closed out the game with the 2 points.
Right, so Landon was 1-0 then, and then we went to a game the following year. Who did they play? Did they play the Arizona Cardinals?
Yep, they played the Arizona Cardinals.
And what happened in that game?
Ryan Tannehill got injured, but lucky enough, Matt Moore was able to carry us to a win in that game.
Right. And then last year, Landon said he wanted to go to a division game. And it's hard because we don't live in Miami, so we can't do a night game. So that eliminated the Monday night game against the Patriots. It eliminated a couple other games that we were thinking about going to. So we went and saw the Jets game, and it didn't exactly start out the way we wanted it to, right?
No, it did not.
But what ended up happening in the end?
In the very end, Jay Cutler went out, and Matt Moore came in once again, and ended up saving us with a couple of big plays.
Right. So just the moral of the story here is Landon is 3-0. He is undefeated attending Miami Dolphins games. And I think that really all the listeners here on DolphinsTalk.com just need to help Landon go to more games, and then the team will be perfect, right?
Yeah, I agree with that statement.
All right. So let's talk about a couple things. You know, and this is kind of a slow time of the news year. It's early in May. The draft is over, and it's been dissected over and over, and Mike and Tom and Brett and the great other guys on DolphinsTalk.com have already done that, so we don't need to do that. But no one has given their 12-year-old's perspective on the draft. I've not seen that anywhere. So let's hear a 12-year-old's perspective on how we did in the draft.
I like what we did in the draft. We added a new good defensive playmaker in Minkah Fitzpatrick, and we drafted a couple of good tight ends and a new linebacker. And I feel like the Dolphins now have a good chance at making it to the playoffs, if not better.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I think it's a little early to think about the playoffs because who knows what some of these other teams are going to do. And as we saw last year in training camp, injuries can decimate an entire team. But if the goal was to improve our defense against tight ends, which quite frankly we were miserable with last year, drafting Minkah Fitzpatrick and then Baker from Ohio State in the third round should help that. If the goal was to improve the play of the tight ends, drafting two tight ends, one pass-receiving tight end and one blocking tight end, probably are going to assist in that too.
Yeah.
And I think that Adam Gase showed when he was in Denver that he did very well with a two tight end offense. And I'm hearing a lot of people or reading a lot of people talking about how our second round pick out of Penn State isn't a great blocker. He may never be asked to block. So it doesn't really matter.
That is true. Very, very true.
Excellent analysis you won't find anywhere else. What did you think about the team not drafting a quarterback anywhere in the draft?
I thought that was a little bit of an interesting decision, but that just shows our faith and loyalty in Ryan Tannehill. And I think we could expect another one of the early quarterbacks next season, maybe trading up.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough because from what I keep hearing is that next season's draft is not as strong in the quarterback class as these guys, but we're not in the room with them. We don't know what they think. If they thought high enough of any of these quarterbacks, probably other than Baker Mayfield, because obviously he went number one overall, they could have traded up and gotten them. But they clearly didn't think enough of Allen or Rosen to push up to get him. Darnold was gone before they probably would have been able to make a move, not that the Jets would have traded with us anyway. But I think it's going to be interesting to see how the quarterback situation evolves. Now, you have quite a few Dolphins jerseys. Mm-hmm. The unfortunate part of the fact that you have a lot of Dolphins jerseys is what?
Every single player on one of those jerseys, either gets traded or cut, or something happens to them and they're no longer on the team during the season.
Right. So the lesson here for all you fathers out there is only buy your kids Hall of Fame players' jerseys. So I will have to find you a Dan Marino jersey at some point. But you still have a couple guys that are still on the team. We still have Ryan Tannehill in that lovely throwback jersey. I think those are the best jerseys we have.
Easily.
So Tannehill, which if I were Ryan, I would be scared. And then you have Xavien Howard.
Yeah.
Now, what made you like Xavien Howard right off the bat? Because we got that jersey when he was a rookie, when he was kind of still hurt and not really playing much.
Well, I used to play flag football, and I used to enjoy playing cornerback. And I wanted to see a new young cornerback on the Dolphins, and that's what we got in the draft. And so I saw him, and he made a couple of plays on TV, and I started liking him. And I thought he was a really good player.
All right. Well, I agree with you. I think that he's going to be really, really solid. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how Matt Burke and the defensive coaches use Minkah Fitzpatrick. I heard an interview with him the other day, and he just seems like he's such a mature, put-together individual. And if you're looking for good people who can play football, he seems to kind of fit the bill. But let's go back to Ryan Tannehill. He's clearly the most, you know, quarterback's the most important position in the game. No one will disagree with that. He's a very polarizing figure. So we're going to get this. We're recording this on a Saturday in May. We're going to get your official take on Ryan Tannehill. Remember, this is going to live forever. So whatever you say here, when you're like 25 years old and Ryan Tannehill's listening to this back, he will be, I remember when Landon said that when he was 12. So what's your take on him?
I like him. I would like to see him try and not get injured. So if he stays healthy this season, I feel like we have a very good shot at doing whatever our goal is, whether it's 7 wins, 8 wins, or higher than that. I feel that we can do that as long as we have a healthy quarterback, and I believe that Ryan Tannehill will be able to do that.
Yeah, health is clearly the key for him because the last two seasons, before he got hurt, he played in that game we went to. He was playing some great football under Adam Gase. And from all accounts, last summer, and clearly the Dolphins have been the champions of the offseason, which doesn't mean anything, but last summer people were saying he was playing really, really well in OTAs and even into training camp before he got hurt. So him staying healthy is really the only fair way to evaluate, because if he gets hurt, I don't care who the backup quarterback is. This team is a 2 or 3 win team, which is not very good.
No.
So we need to figure out how to keep him healthy and getting you to more of his games.
Yes,
I agree
with that.
So a couple of things I want to talk with you about. Running backs, that we have 3 running backs that seem to, you know, on the surface are going to be able to get some play, but probably it's going to come down to Kenyon Drake and Frank Gore. And having a super experienced Hall of Famer who played for the University of Miami and grew up in Miami, Frank Gore, paired with young Kenyon Drake, who, as good as he was, the sample size is small, only a couple games. What do you think about the 2 running backs that we have at our disposal?
I feel like we're going to try and use Kenyon Drake maybe as like a receiving back along with Frank Gore, and we're going to try and hit them up the middle, Frank Gore, and try and go out wide and use Kenyon Drake's speed. I think we're going to be able to beat some of the weaker defenses in the NFL. I feel like we can do very good with the 2 running backs.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting because one of the things that I thought prior to the draft is if you go back 2 years ago, we did draft Laremy Tunsil, but he's not a skilled position. He plays tackle. And then the majority of that draft, you know, Xavien Howard, that rest of that class was defensive players. And then last year, it was almost exclusively defensive players. Adam Gase is known as an offensive thinker, an offensive, I don't want to say genius, but he's a creative offense. He was hired because of the work he does on the offensive side of the ball. Yet up until this year's draft, when we got him the 2 tight ends and then the running back from Arizona State in the 4th round, we have not been drafting players to allow Adam Gase to show off this creativity. And I think that's been one of the issues that I've had, is if you're going to draft or if you're going to commit to this offensive coach who's going to be the leader of your organization, you probably need to give him the weapons that he wants. And maybe they thought Julius Thomas would be that person. Maybe they were hoping that Jay Ajayi was going to fit in better. Clearly, they made some choices in getting rid of some of those players. Ajayi, of course, would go on to win the Super Bowl with the Eagles and look pretty good doing it. I do think, though, that maybe this is the year that with these tight ends and some of these skill positions, Gase gets to do what he wants to do, which would be good, don't you think?
Yeah, I like to see Adam Gase do what he wants to do and what he's good at.
Yeah, now one of the jerseys that you had, and we're just going to talk about this once and we will never talk about it again on the podcast, was Jarvis Landry. And I know that you were a little upset at first about the team letting go Jarvis, and I think that's one of that's an accolade to Jarvis, that he connected with fans and especially young fans, and that's hard to do in this day and age because there's so many distractions for kids. Why did you like Jarvis Landry so much, and have you kind of understood the Dolphins' thinking as to why he had to why they moved on from him?
I like Jarvis Landry because he was a playmaker, and I feel like he was never truly covered by a defensive player because he was a slot receiver. He wasn't the number one player, so there wasn't a Malcolm Butler on him, so he was able to get open. But I understand that because of the large cap room that he wanted, that it only made sense for us to cut him.
Yeah, and they were lucky because they ended up trading him instead of cutting him, and they turned those two draft picks, one into the running back from Arizona State, and then two, a seventh-round pick for next year, who they traded for Akeem Spence, who now is going to be that fourth defensive tackle in the rotation. You messaged me the other day as soon as they made that trade because I was on the golf course and had no idea that they had picked up a new defensive tackle. What's your 12-year-old's perspective on that?
I like that deal because we did recently get the Lions defensive line coach, and I think that it makes sense for us to bring in someone that he's worked with before and that maybe knows the system that we're going to be running with the D-line.
Yeah, and I would think that if he didn't like him as a player then, he wouldn't have asked us to trade for him. So we probably have the best set of intel on that guy than anyone else in the league, right?
Yeah,
because clearly he must know what he's talking about with him.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the receiver position, I think, is also, and we're kind of just randomly going through the roster, the receiver position has to be the position of strength for us this year. Right? We have Kenny Stills. We have Devontae Parker, who looks the part but hasn't fulfilled it so far. We have Jakeem Grant, who I love Jakeem Grant. I just think that we've got to figure out four or five plays a game that are just going to get him the ball, that he can just show off that impressive speed. And then we added the two new guys, Albert Wilson and Danny Amendola. So the receiver room seems to be talented and seems to be full. What are your thoughts on the Dolphins' receiving core?
I like it. I feel like we have a good amount of speed in Kenny Stills and Albert Wilson. We have a good veteran receiver who's going to be able to help grow the younger receivers in Danny Amendola and Devontae Parker, who can show us what he can do, or maybe he won't.
Yeah, Devontae Parker has frustrated me because a couple of years ago when we were talking before the draft, I remember telling you and your sister that I wanted them to draft Devontae Parker. And I think we were 13th or 14th that year in the first round. And lo and behold, he fell to us. He ended up being available, and we took him. And between him and Kenny Stills, who came over in a trade from the Saints, it seemed to revitalize that receiving room, and we've seen it because in a couple games we've went to, Devontae's got open and he's gone up and he's made some big catches in that game against the Chargers last year in L.A. He made that big catch, and it just seems to me that something's just not right, that whether it's just physical conditioning or just bad luck. But this is his fifth season, and this is the time that he has to show up. Or the fourth season going into, they picked up the fifth-year option for him, but that means nothing. That this is the year he needs to show up, right?
Yeah, easily.
And, you know, I think it's going to be challenging because one thing that's going to definitely change in this offense, without someone like Jarvis Landry getting 100 balls thrown his way, there's going to be plenty of passes to kind of spread the ball around, right?
Yeah, I feel like all of our receivers are going to be utilized more balanced than last season, and that they're all going to get times where they can make plays, and maybe they'll change around the depth chart based off of who makes plays and who doesn't.
Yeah, that would seem to be a good theory. Maybe you should be one of the coaches on this team.
I would enjoy that.
Yeah, probably a child labor law would prevent that, being that you're only 12 years old. All right, so we're going to go a couple more minutes here on the first ever episode of the Landon and Jeff Show here at DolphinsTalk.com. And we're going to try to be with you guys once a week. You know, occasionally Landon's school schedule or my work schedule may prohibit that. But we're hoping to hear from you. You can reach out to me at Jeff Neubarth on Twitter. You'll have to look up in the show notes how to spell that. I'm sure Michael put that in there and on the site as well. Or you could just leave comments on DolphinsTalk.com and Landon and I will get to them. We'd love to even be able to do some mailbag where we answer your questions that you have for us, though. I don't know why anyone would want to know our opinion on anything anyway, Landon, but we have a podcast and they don't, so maybe that's the reason, right?
Yeah.
And you have to be the youngest person co-hosting a Dolphins podcast in the universe, so that's got to be pretty exciting.
Yeah. It's
all right, cool. So tell me which player on the team you think is going to be a breakout sort of, it could be either a rookie or a veteran who's going to step it up this year. Who's going to be your breakout performer based on what you know right now?
From what I'd like seeing, I feel like Albert Wilson is going to be a sleeper and that he's going to be very good. People are not going to put on their best corners on him. They're going to maybe not show up their A game when they're covering him. And I feel that with his speed and his making people miss tackles, I feel like he's going to have a breakout season. He's going to try and fill Jarvis's shoes, and I think he very well be able to.
Okay, I like that pick. I think Albert Wilson would do well. I think the biggest thing for me is that in Adam Gase's offense, if things are running right, he should be able to create mismatches. So whether you send a big tight end out and then you leave the team, do you have a safety cover him, which means the tight end on a jump ball should, in theory, be able to win that, or you take a running back like Kenyon Drake and you flank them out, and then they put a linebacker on him who clearly Kenyon Drake will be faster. I think the same is true with Albert Wilson, where they'll be able to motion him and either find spots in the zone that he can exploit, or, like you said, be able to match up against maybe the team's weaker corner and be able to exploit that. That's something that New England does really, really well, and I think that maybe, just maybe, if these rookie tight ends are as good as they potentially could be, and if Kenyon Drake comes back and that small sample size is truly who he is, we could start exploiting these matchups. But again, it all is going to depend on the health of Ryan Tannehill. For me, I'm looking forward to seeing this defense play, because I think that Charles Harris flashed enough for me to lead me to believe that potentially he could be really good. I don't know if it's just because of Hard Knocks, but I love William Hayes, and if you can put him in inside and make him a defensive tackle, you know, him and Quinn together could be really good run stoppers as well. And then if Raekwon McMillan, I know that it was all what we heard in the offseason, and then of course he got hurt out for the season on the first play in preseason covering a punt, which note to coaches, please don't put our rookies on special teams in opening games of the preseason. There's no reason to do it. If they can show you in practice they can cover a punt once, that's good enough for me. We don't need them hurt in freak, you know. I get it, they can be hurt any play, any time, but let's just minimize the risk. But I think Raekwon could be really special, and I think that he could be someone that could potentially become a leader of the defense, but also someone that the fan base could potentially get behind. So, all right, so my pick is Raekwon McMillan. Yours is Albert Wilson, and we'll see how we do with those. We'd love to hear from you. If you can leave a comment below on DolphinsTalk.com on the website, tell us who you think your potential sleepers, Landon called it, or kind of a breakout guy for me, someone who maybe didn't perform as well as they would in the past. In my case, it's because the guy was hurt. In your case, because he wasn't on our team, to kind of see what they can do. All right, we're going to get through one or two more things, then we're going to wrap up this inaugural episode of the Landon and Jeff Show. The first one is, why is your name first?
I don't know. I feel like you're asking me the questions, and I'm answering them. So it's kind of like you're the reporter, and I'm, like, answering the questions, being interviewed.
Well, you haven't asked me anything, so I can't really answer anything.
That's fair.
All right, well, do you want to ask me anything?
How do you think Minka Fitzpatrick will do in the first year?
I think Minka Fitzpatrick's going to be great. I do wonder what position he's going to play, but I almost don't think it matters. I would just put him at some type of free safety and just say, go get the ball and figure it out. And if you put him and Rashad together, I think you have some different variations. But again, if that defensive line can be better than they were last year, if we can get a little more pressure on the cornerback, that makes it easier for the secondary. But everything I've read about Minka Fitzpatrick has been, this guy is an amazing, amazing person on top of football player. And speaking for someone who works in an environment where culture is way more important than any work product we do, if the culture's right and everybody buys in and everybody starts thinking about supporting their teammates and helping their teammates win, then I think we'll be in a good place. But Nick Saban said a lot of guys go to the NFL from Alabama, and he seems to really like Minka. So I think that's a pretty good sign.
Yeah, I like what your statement about culture is. I think that could be part of the reason why we lost to Jai and Jarvis. They wanted the ball too much, and they wanted to be the stars of the team. Well, it's not about that. It's about winning games and being a good football team.
Yeah, and football more than other sports, you really, really need the buy-in of everybody and everybody working on the same, working for the same goal. So we'll see what happens to that. All right, so one other thing that I wanted to get to you is, we are going to go to another game this year, me, you, and your sister. And we'll announce that officially when we get the tickets to it, unless the fans of this podcast are generous and buy you season tickets, which would be wonderful. But do you have your eye on any game? Have you looked at the schedule close enough to know what game you want to attend? So the rules are it has to be a Sunday game, and it has to be a 1 o'clock, or at least one we think will be a 1 o'clock start.
I haven't looked specifically at which game I want to go, but I have looked at a couple of games. I think that there's going to be some good matchups that we're going to be able to play. And maybe, well, obviously a home game, but maybe a more winnable game just to keep that perfect record. But I don't know.
Okay. I'm kind of thinking maybe we go to the home opener against the Titans. We haven't done the home opener yet, and that could be kind of fun.
Yeah, that could be.
I just don't know schedule-wise if that's going to work for us, because that would be – that maybe Labor Day weekend. I haven't looked at the schedule, and if it is, that's going to be a tough one. But we'll have to take a look. So on an upcoming episode, we will lock in our plans and figure out which game we will go to, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Which game we will win.
Yep, exactly. All right, anything else you want to cover on the first podcast?
Not really.
All right, how do you think we did?
I think we did pretty good.
Okay, good. Well, hopefully we will continue to get better. Hopefully the Miami Dolphins will continue to get better. This is the Landon and Jeff Show on DolphinsTalk.com. Please leave your comments below, or you can reach out to me at Jeff Neubarth on Twitter, or you can reach out to Mike at DolphinsTalk.com. On Twitter, and you can tell him if you like the show. If you don't like the show, please don't talk to Mike about it. Just give us a couple more chances, right?
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to add?
We're going to have a great season? Not really, no.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening to the very first episode of this. We promise we will get better each time. We look forward to hearing from you, and we will see you soon on DolphinsTalk.com.